This beautiful singing, I have really liked it, and I know that God will give us credit when we come to sing songs of praise to Him, and we do it to the best of our ability. God will really give us credit. We have problems in Africa of polygamy. You probably don't have it here, but we do have quite a lot of problem in most of our Zimbabwean rural areas, where probably you find a man is married to maybe three wives, four wives, and the folk in these places are a little bit very hard-hearted when it comes to, you know, trying to tell them that the best is to have one woman to a one husband in the marriage relationship. You will find you are actually creating a situation where they think you are coming to destroy tradition. And the whole thing is that people are just determined to do their own thing. And that is not only in the traditional way of our life, like in Zimbabwe. But we even have some cults, some religious groups that teach that God said that be fruitful and multiply, and therefore you can marry many wives. And they in the eastern side of our country, where I come from, we have that kind of religion, and the leader of that religion has about 15 wives. And it's, you know, you can't believe that they make tents to go to him. And, you know, that's how you can see people can be determined to move away from what God says. When we are Christians, we are people who have obeyed God, and we are determined to do his will. And God has given us clear instructions on this issue. And I'm sure most of us know this, but we want to look today on some areas that are very important, that protect our marriages to be the kind of marriage that God wants it to be. The passage that was read by our brother in front here, we notice that the Pharisees coming to Jesus, they say, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" Now, Jesus does not directly answer that question in his reply. But at the end of what he says, it is clear to the Jews, to the Pharisees who were asking, that his answer is saying, you are not permitted to do as you please. Notice, he says, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Now, did they understand his reply? Yes. They say, verse 7, they say to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" They understood that his answer is lying, that that is not a good thing. And so they are now going back to that time when there was, because of the hardness of their heart, given that kind of permission to do it. And they said, "But Moses, in the laws that we read in our synagogues, permits us to do that. Why do you say we cannot do that?" Because they understood his answer. And Jesus said, "It was because of the hardness of your heart that he did." But he says, I like that last part. In the beginning, it was not so. In the beginning, it is not God's intention that when you are married, then you plan to think about the divorce. No matter what comes, divorce, as he then puts in this passage, is only for one reason, and that is sexual immorality. We therefore then, as Christians especially, must be very careful to prevent anything that leads our marriage to a situation where we can divorce. Now, sometimes it starts fairly easy, because the way it starts by small things until it grows into something big. Until, even if you are a Christian, you have been a Christian for many years, and you have actually created strong relationships with the group that you are worshiping with, and you don't want to hear that you have divorced your wife or your husband, it comes to a situation sometimes where you will say, enough is enough. But what should you do? What should I do to prevent such situations from happening? That's what we want to try and share this evening. How do we know? How know when a marriage is in trouble or is headed in trouble? Now, there are so many ways that we can see that marriage is now headed for trouble, but we just want to look at a few ways. Maybe let's straight away begin with the first one. How do we know when a marriage is headed for trouble? Well, when both husband and wife say the other one is the problem. Have you ever had some disagreement and someone tries to talk to you and the wife says, no, he is the problem. The man says, no, she is the problem. How do you know that marriage's problem is when both of them say the other one is the problem? You know why? Because that shouldn't be so. There should be among the two one who say, I think I am to blame, please help me. There should be someone who looks closely at themselves and say, maybe the reason we were having this quarrel, maybe it's because I didn't say to him good morning, because really I did not say that. And perhaps he was angry about it. Or maybe it is my fault because I didn't open the door for my wife as I usually do to get in the car. And I think she might have been mad about it. And I think I am to blame. But when this one says he is the problem, this one says she is the problem, then you know something is going to happen. You know, I have been caught in situations where Christians have been quarreling. We try to listen with my wife as this one gives their story and this one gives her story and the husband gives his story. And it seems like it's all just this one pointing to this one and this one pointing to this one and say, hey, hey, where are we going to get to? The husband says she is really a problem, and the wife says the whole trouble is him. Now you know it's in trouble. Now, I think when we make such selfish statements and we don't look at ourselves, this is a situation that eventually, if it continues, it can lead to trouble. You know, when Paul was teaching, let's go to Philippians, although we do have the scripture, but let's read it directly from our different versions that we are holding in our hands. Philippians, we are reading the second chapter of the book of Philippians. And listen, here, of course, Paul was just teaching general Christian teaching, although I'm applying this to the marriage relationship. He says in chapter number 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's what it should be. If you don't want our marriage to somehow head for trouble, Let each one have a humble kind of status in the marriage relationship. Whenever I'm not agreeing with my husband, before I try to point a finger, whenever I'm not agreeing with my wife, before I point a finger, let me look at myself in the spirit of total humility and be self-examining and say, what could be causing this? Now, I think if that kind of situation exists between the spouses, it's going to make it a lot easier. This one says, maybe I think I have wronged you. And this one says, I think I have wronged you. So what's the problem? It is going to be easier to solve it. And it actually lengthens the happiness of that particular marriage relationship. But if this one thinks, so you think I'm wrong? So you think I'm wrong? What are you saying? Are you implying that I'm wrong? Saying, yes, you are wrong, and you are also wrong. And sometimes the situation can grow worse. God says, that which God has joined together, let nothing separate. Let no man separate. When both say the other one is the problem, you know that marriage is headed for trouble. When greater interest is outside the home than in marriage. When you begin to see that a man or a woman is now being taken more by recreation, social engagements, hobbies, other things outside the marriage, taking priority over the marriage relationship, then there is trouble. Here is a man who maybe is very interested in soccer, and there is a soccer team that is playing somewhere. He leaves the home, more interest is in soccer. Maybe there were some things that he was supposed to have done before he leaves. His interest is in more recreational activities than the family. When that begins to happen, it starts like a small thing, but it can grow to a point where the person starts to neglect their family relationship. It is not that we must not have interest in these hobbies or social engagements or other things, but it must be that the family is always number one. We must put God first, and then our family must be second. They must be the most important thing that must be thought in our lives. We have seen marriages getting broken because either the woman or the man is having more interest outside the home. They can get home, just have a few minutes with their wife, and then they are going to be having more time with their friends. When that kind of thing happens, that's when it begins. Because the person that I must spend much of my time is my wife, is my husband. Because he is the one, she is the one I chose to be my permanent partner. From the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse 33. Very, very clear. It does not say in a gray language, but it's very clear. It says in verse 33, if you are all there, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We are to love our wives as we love ourselves. That's the message God gives us as husbands, as those who will be future. That's the message. I have never seen someone who take a knife and cut yourself. You can't do that. You can't take something that is so sharp and then poke yourself. You love yourself that even if something starts, if you are just moving your hand and something seems to be scratching you, to hurt you, you are careful. The Bible says, as you love yourself, that's the way you should do to your wife. But sometimes I have seen violent men, and yet they are Christians who are so violent to their wives that the wife will keep quiet for some time until she starts to share with other ladies. You know, my husband is a good husband, but he's so cheeky. He's so, sometimes he treats me in a bad manner. If I love my wife, I will always love them as if I love my own boy. That I will not intend to hurt them unnecessarily. Perhaps it is by accident. It is something that Paul says we need to do that. But listen to that part of the verse, the last part says, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, I don't know how you women here respect your husband, but Vimbai, my wife, when she's giving me something, except when we are here in your culture, where she may not do that, but in our culture, if I ask her to give me something, whether it is a glass of water, you know what she does? It's our culture, I don't mean do it. She comes and she kneels down, and then she gives me the thing when she's kneeling down. That's how she respects. And we normally regard a woman who does not do that in our culture, she's not respecting her husband. Almost every time, even if children are there, Vimbai will take something before Priscilla and Patience, and she will come and she will kneel down on the chair where I am seated. Culturally, that's, I wonder if you American women would do that. Maybe it would be a good, this, you can do it to kneel down, but to come out, maybe that would be a problem. But there are different ways in different cultures where a lady will show that she respects her husband. And you need to take that seriously. Because the Bible tells the husbands to love their husbands as they love themselves. And then it turns to the women, you need to respect. You know, I read this other writer. He says, the best a woman can do to her daughters is to respect the husband before them. When they see that, never at one time did I ever see daddy shouting, mom. That's the best a woman can do. My mother always respects my dad. And if he sees my dad is angry, he's careful not to say anything until his anger has subsided. The best a woman can do is to respect her husband, especially before the children. How do you know that a marriage is headed for trouble? Number one, when both say the other one is the trouble. Number two, when greater interest is now outside the home. We need, as 1 Peter 3:7, especially if you have to treat them with the knowledge that they are a weaker vessel. You see, when you are angry, brother mine, if you are really angry, you can hold her by the throat and throw her because you are a man. Physically, you are strong. But that should never happen. God did not give you that strength and that power to do it to your wife. It's given so that you can work for your family. And that's what God expects. We never should allow a situation where we have greater interest. We must love our spouse to the extent that God says, yes, that's what I have commanded to be done. When children know there is a problem, dad and mama are always shouting at each other. Sometimes they shout at a high voice that the children eventually leave the sitting room and they go to their rooms. They will know, there's a problem with my dad. And they are always fighting, shouting. When that kind of situation begins to happen, you know that marriage is headed for trouble. We should try to prevent these brothers and sisters so that our marriage become exemplary marriages to the neighbors around us, to our relatives, to the people that know us, the people that we work with. We should never allow a situation where we let children to be seeing us hating over ourselves because we are always conflicting against each other. When we fail to hide problems, I think, as I say this, I think parents here know this, that there are situations probably that if we are seeing we are really disagreeing, we will choose to discuss those things when our teenagers are not there. And we may disagree, but it's better it is respectfully done when children are not there. And we talk about it. And if we are not agreeing over that particular thing, why don't we say, okay, think about it, I think about it, we'll talk about it. And sometimes new ideas can come. But when we try to say, my ideas are right, my ideas are right, and then we then get this until we begin to shout it to one another before children, then we are creating a situation that is not right. Actually, the scripture tells us that, let's go to Colossians. There is just one phrase there that I would like us to focus. Colossians 3, verse number 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Never should a parent do something that could create in the mind of a daughter, in the mind of the son, that, hey, they are worrying my father, they are worrying my mother. That should never, we never should provoke our children to that. We need to make sure that our marriage is kept as peaceful as we possibly can. And remember, we are God's children. The scripture says we have been taken from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of His, and we are there to act as lights to this crooked generation. And one of the beginning point of doing that is in our home with our family. When you come here and your wife knows you mistreat your wife, sometimes when they say, brother so is going to pray for us and say, let's pray, sometimes your wife will look at you and this. Because doesn't believe you are praying, you are holy, because you're trying to be holy here at church. But at home, you are not holy at all. Your treatment to your wife is so rough, so unchristian, that even at home, if you say, come, let's have a devotion, let's pray, as you close your eyes, your wife will be looking at you like this, saying, hey, this devil. We don't want a situation like that. Let's try to make a situation where children know that my father loves my mother loves my dad, and that we are now being role models so that when they get married, they will try to do the same thing. But that's not all. When one or both are drifting from the Lord, when you begin to see that maybe the husband is no longer interested in spiritual things as he was before, or the wife is no longer interested in spiritual things as they were before. Maybe you used to have a devotion at home all the time, but every time you are now having like a prayer before you go to sleep, you begin to see the wife is no longer interested in that. There is nothing wrong that the husband is doing, but it's just dragging away. Maybe sometimes have you ever seen people when we are having a devotion who start to yawn? She yawns three times before the face that is being ready. And the children are watching and saying, is mom really interested in the devotion? Is dad really interested in the devotion? We need to be people who are always steadfast and strong in the Lord. Never should we we try to start drifting from the Lord. I have seen in our congregation, we had one member who eventually left the congregation because of this. The wife was very faithful when it comes to church services. But the husband started off by not coming this Sunday. The other Sunday he comes. This other Sunday doesn't come until it began to strengthen that practice. It was now, this Sunday is there, the following two Sundays is not there. And then it began to happen that a man is not there. I visit him. Why did you come, brother? Well, we were dwelling over. We were not having any off days, not having any breaks. You know, they like us. We start at 6 o'clock and we are knocking off early, very late. And sometimes it's not true. You ask the other men, they work together. They say, no. He was off yesterday. He was not on duty yesterday. Are you sure? No. But he told me he was on duty. No. Usually in their department, they don't work on Sunday. This man, he's a Christian, but he's beginning to drift away. And usually that's the beginning of the problem. Because as we said in the first part of our lesson, he is now having more interest outside. He begins to not be with the wife, and he's now beginning to have some certain friends who are ladies. And that begins to make the matter worse. We need to make sure that when we drift away, we are now getting into an early warning sign that trouble in the marriage is soon to come. It will soon come. There must be this equality as far as serving the Lord. The moment we are fortunate that we have been all baptized into Christ to serve him, we must try and pray to God that our faithfulness is on the same level. Because the moment we start to drift, that's the beginning of a lot of problem. It is a fact that as long as both husband and wife are committed to the Lord, is the best possible source of strength. Now, I want you to turn with me to Joshua. I think we all know this. Joshua, the 24th chapter. The words of Joshua are well known by most of us, are very important to read them here. Joshua chapter 24, reading from verse 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that way on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Very clear words that Joshua said as he was talking to the people of Israel. He says, what you need to do is to serve your Lord in sincerity, honestly, making sure that you are serving him. Choose this day. Don't be like your forefathers who were double-tongued in their activity. They would want to serve the gods, and they would want to serve the God. You, he says, must not do it. And he says that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It should be the both spouse must be faithful to the Lord. Remember, quitting is not the solution, but trying, even if there are hardships. There are so many hardships that different societies meet that can create problems in the marriage. But we need to remember the Lord say you need to go through, and he will be there for us. You remember Paul when he was in the European territories in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. He says, through many problems, we must enter the kingdom of God. There are problems. There are going to be problems in marriage. Jonathan, when you get married, there are going to be problems. Yes, your life here is better, but there are going to be some problems. There are going to be some uphills that you have to face. But the better you save them without drifting from the Lord, because he is there to help us. If many, many years, more than 2,000 years now, much more than that, Joshua said, I will serve the Lord, I and my house. Why can we not do that? When one of the spouse or both are beginning to drift, then you know marriage is headed for trouble. When there is more talk of divorce than being in marriage, any slight disagreement, she's thinking of divorce, he's thinking of divorce. Any kind of situation, you are thinking, I wish I had not married this woman. Huh? I don't know how I made that mistake. When that kind of thing happens, then marriage is. You see, sometimes there are disagreements that are so minor, but we magnify them to cause problems. I remember going to a shop. To a shop, a supermarket with my wife, you know the juices that we have. Okay, here, there we have raspberry, we have mazoe orange. And she likes raspberry and I like mazoe orange. And we were there in that supermarket and our was limited. And I wanted to pick mazoe orange and she wanted to pick what? Raspberry. I said, take this. I said, no, I will. And the other people, the other shoppers, I think were just watching us. You know, some of these disagreements, brothers and sisters, in marriage are not a big thing. Sometimes we are just disagreeing on a minor thing. And let's not cause that to create problems in the marriage. Let's make sure that we don't make that minor thing to begin to say, I think I made a mistake marrying you. It shouldn't be that way. It should always be that. You remember when we read Philippians chapter 2? You think others better than yourself. Oh, do you want mazoe orange? Okay, take. No, take first. No. Until, you see, you finally give in. You see, when you are disagreeing in a marriage relationship, if this one considers, I think I'm to blame, and this one says, I think I'm to blame. That issue is easier to solve than when this one says, I don't think I'm wrong. Say whatever you want to say, I don't think I'm wrong. Okay, say your facts, but I doubt if I'm wrong. When you begin to make that kind of stand, it's going to be difficult to solve, even if the disagreement is on a minor thing. We must never try to ever think about leaving your marriage partner because of small things. Now, we are different in our culture and the way you do things. But when we are married, we pay cows to the... Now, it's different here. When you are married, you know, I think the family of the daughter, they are the one that, is that right? For the wedding, is that right? With us, it's the man who is married and their family, they take control of payments. And there is a specific money that you pay to the parents of that girl. Plus, when you have paid all the initial for them to permit you to get a marriage certificate, that is not all. You are charged several cows that you should pay over your lifetime. So, some men would use statements like, moreover, I married and I'm paying a lot of cows, but you are doing nasty thing in my home. I wish I had not brought you into my home. And that affects the woman so much that both the two, they begin to think of separating. So if I'm a nuisance to you, well, I can go back and tell my parents to retain your cows. You see, you should never make any statement that implies he must go, she must go, we must be separate. Never should you make any sentiment, because when that happens, that's the beginning of trouble. One of the worst responses to disagreement is to threaten what? Divorce. We are having a little bit of problem in our country because some women are much more educated than the men, and they think they get more money, and he doesn't get enough money, and they begin to say things that are nasty to the husband. They are not humble. The Bible says, do nothing with the quarreling and self-esteem, but in humility, think others better. But some women are not. And we have, my wife had some time when we go and try to counsel a family that is having, where we see any of these things are now in the marriage. My wife would always say, you know what I want you to do, Tenson? When you finish the lesson in the home, I want you to move with the husband to the car very fast, and you wait for us. And I want to move slowly with the wife, because I think I have some things that I want to talk to her as a woman. And one of the things that she would tell is, don't allow any of your response to say, because you have done this, then I think, get me back to my parents. You should never, that mentality should not come, because you came into the marriage relationship for permanence, not for a temporal state. So people should know that one of the things that can cause problem is when you are looking for grounds to go out of the marriage relationship instead of looking for grounds to remain in the marriage relationship, not to divorce. Because Jesus said, you are not to divorce, except exceptional circumstances where your wife has now proved to even go to the extent of committing sexual immorality, your husband, then that you can think twice. But other than that, God does not want us to have that. You remember in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, when the priests and the people of his day, Malachi was told, tell them that God hates divorce. God does hate it. When we are married until death tears us apart. Never should we allow any of these things to allow our marriage to be in trouble. How do we know when a marriage is in trouble? Number one, when both say the other one is a problem. When greater interest is outside. When children now know that there is a problem. When either or both now drifting from the Lord, and when there is more talk of divorce than in the marriage relationship. Let us do everything we can, brothers and sisters, to prevent marriage getting into trouble. And remember, we should always be people who are faithful. And I would want to apply the points that are on, especially the fourth one. If you have been doing something that goes to these things that we have discussed, that you better make a repentance on that, because your marriage, my marriage, could be headed for trouble. And remember, there is no better time to do it than right now. Thank you very much. I hope that these things will help us. God bless us. Let's stand and sing.